orientation problems. You ever been, you know, I don't know exactly where things are, but can you imagine what it was like on the planet when they discovered, you know, orientation has to do with, I have to figure out where I am and where I want to go and then figure out a path to get there. But orientation also has to do with who's the center of the orbit. For instance, when a baby is born, where is the center of a baby's orbit? No. The baby is the center of orbit, and everything orbits around the baby. So all of their understanding, their consciousness, there's a point at which when a child, and this is something that's good, there's a point at which when a child realizes when the mother walks out of the room, she doesn't cease to exist. That's why you can sometimes leave your babies in the nursery. Okay? Why? Because there's a point in time when there's a certain age, when the baby gets a certain age, they understand that just because mom isn't present before me doesn't mean mom doesn't exist. There's an orientation that occurs in babies. Now, in the world, we understand it in a bigger way, is the world at one point in time was thought to be what? Flat, okay? And so what did that mean? How did everything orbit then? Everything moved around the earth. The earth was the center of the orbit. Everything moved around. Now, what's interesting is, even with the pictures from the NASA program, which, by the way, is a conspiracy, it didn't really happen. That's according to flat earth people. They have this whole website. Don't go there now. Okay, don't Google it at this moment. But yeah, they have websites. They talk about everything. It's all a conspiracy. In fact, it is a flat world. The Arctic Circle exists in the very center of this flat world, and then everything moves out to it through this big flat disk. And at the outer edge, it's not the end of the Earth, but rather it's the walls of ice of Antarctica. Have you ever heard of something so foolish in your brain? However, somebody's going, however, I can imagine when Galileo said, I think it was Galileo, and if I'm wrong, you can fact check me and correct me, send me an email, I'll be sure to read it. But I think it was Galileo who made the world is not the center of the universe, and it's not flat. In fact, it's spherical. I have a hard time with that word, as you can tell. I have to slow down. Sphericial. You pronounce it. Okay? So it's spherical. It's round. It's not really round. So if I said it was a circle, you would correct me. So I didn't want to say that. So spherical. And it spins, and it's in rotation around the sun. And the sun is at the center of the orbit. But we also know that creation, when God spoke creation into existence, all of creation began to move, and it moves from the point of centering, that point of creation. And all of this is information that Galileo said, hey, you know what? It's not a flat earth. It's a round earth, and we're circling around the sun. The sun's not circling around us. And people were like, oh, my gosh, this changes everything. It changes everything. And the same is true. So you think about it. Now we have orientation. We understand. Think about it. You use orientation every day. You want to get somewhere. You use Google Maps or whatever it is you use. But the reality is you go through a process. Let's look at that next screen. First of all, you determine, where am I? That's critical, isn't it? Because you can get anywhere you want to as long as you know where you are. Right? You have to know that. You have to understand, where am I? You have to determine, where am I right now? Then you need to know your destination. Okay, what are the coordinates? What's the address? Where is it I want to get to? And then you make the necessary adjustments to arrive at your destination. Yesterday afternoon, when the fires were all happening over here in Oak Grove, it changed the way in which people drove. Why? Because there were roads closed. They had to change the way they drove. Some people couldn't move out of their neighborhood because the roads were closed. And so they were stuck where they are. But the reality is that, you know, and I love my little, I shouldn't say I love. I have a love-hate relationship with Siri. Anybody else? First of all, she doesn't understand me. I try to say stuff and she doesn't, she just, I try to text you while I'm driving, you know, and I don't text, I don't use, oh, everybody, I saw those heads go up. I'm using Siri to text, hands-free, and I'm speaking into Siri, and finally, she and I are just having words. The only thing is she forgets every part of your conversation. Every conversation is new to her, sort of like your husband's, women. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. But I love it when, you know, when I see that the roads, there's a detour, Google Maps doesn't know about it, I do the detour, and immediately they start doing what? Recalculating. There's road construction, and it takes you around a spot, it starts to recalculating, and it just discovers a new way. It's constantly understanding, this is where you are, this is where you want to be, and making the necessary adjustments. Now, the reality is, you say, well, what does this have to do with anything about prayer? Because you're talking about persistence in prayer. Well, the reality is, when we think about prayer, persistence in prayer has to be with essentially this. We're orienting ourselves to God. We're putting ourselves. So when I became a Christ follower, this is what was supposed to happen. Okay? And it's still happening, and it's still in progress. And that's this. When I came to know Christ, it's a reorientation of my life. My life no longer should, I should not be the center of the orbit of my life, but instead, Jesus Christ is at the center of the orbit of my life. And you're going to understand in a minute why that's so important we understand that, because I'm going to say some words and you're going to say, oh my gosh, okay, I get it now. Hopefully you'll do that. Okay, so here we go. Paul talks about this in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. He says this. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. He says, okay, this is something of devotion. And in fact, that's exactly what the early church did. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says this. Verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so then we come to this text that we're going to look at today. We're going to unpack it a bit. It's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and it says this. Let's see. Turn the page, Ken. That's the wrong verse. It's like, that's not the right word. Okay, here we go. Verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let me read it one more time since I won't slow down. Here we go. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, watch this. He begins it, you know, this the simple word. He begins it with the word and. Okay, you say, well, okay, that's a word that's there. It kind of connects to the previous thought. And he begins chapter 6 with instructions, but in verse 10, he begins this whole conversation about putting on the armor of God. And you've read that before. Many of you are probably very, very familiar with it. But essentially, he describes the whole process of equipping yourself with the armor of God. You're putting on everything and over everything else, put on love. And he concludes with this, and take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and attack, and go on the offensive, and move out. No, what does he say? Pray. 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 At the very center of our orbit is this idea of praying. Have you ever read the Gospels? The Gospels talk about who Jesus is, and they share the life of Jesus. Where do you often find Jesus? Help me out. Praying. Hold on, wait. I thought he was the Son of God. I mean, he is God. He's fully human and fully God. You mean to tell me that Jesus, the Son of God, prayed? Did he need to? Apparently. And don't say, oh no, he just did that because He wanted his disciples to see that he prayed, and therefore they would follow his example. Because they were sleeping in the garden while he was praying. If he was setting an example for them praying, he would have been nudging them. Hey, guys, I'm praying. You need to be paying attention. I'm praying. You need to be, you know. He didn't do that. Instead, he's praying to God. He's saying, God, let this cup pass from me. This is the night before he's going to die on the cross. He's going to be crucified, and he's speaking to God, and he's pouring out his heart to God. Jesus, the Son of God, prayed because he was constantly in dialogue with Jesus. That's why in the Gospel of John, when Jesus is having a conversation with one of his disciples, and the disciple says, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient. Jesus could say, don't you get it? When you see me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because Jesus was constantly in conversation with his Father. Jesus was always speaking to the Father. So pray and pray. That's the beginning of our day. That's the beginning of our life. It's the place in which we base our every effort. It's in prayer. Or is it? You know, here's the deal. I don't have to believe that the earth is round to live my life. Did you know that? I mean, I can get in my car and I could drive in which direction. And guess what? Everything before me is a flat earth. So I can just go on believing that there is a flat earth. Does that make me right? No. It just means I'm an idiot. Okay? I'm sorry if you believe there's a flat earth and I just offended you. Never mind. I can drive from here all the way to Florida, find the beach and everything. I can watch the waves flowing in. You can talk to me about how the moon is doing that. It's pulling it back and forth because of the gravitational pull and the spin of the all this kind of stuff. And I can say, hey, it looks like a flat earth to me. I can only see so far, and it's flat all the way out there. And then I see the sky, and I bet that's where all that ice is because it's all kind of whitish anyway, you know. You say, well, what does that have to do with us in prayer? If prayer is the very center of our orbit, if it's the very place in which we have communion, conversation, interaction with God, do we really live that way? Is our life really being transformed by a prayer? Is prayer the all-consuming thing? Paul talks about getting on all of the armor of God and equipping yourself in the Word of God and understanding you stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And then he calls us to pray because prayer changes things. Prayer impacts the world. South Korea, 1900. Less than 1% of the nation of South Korea were Christ followers. 100 years later, 10 million people are confessing Christ. You know why? Because they took prayer seriously. You read the stories, I listened to a podcast this week about this and was reminded of the incredible stories out of South Korea. They were praying for God to move. Small churches, little bitty groups of people just praying, and the Word of God took off. When you read the gospel, when you read the book of Acts, and you watch what happens to the early church, who had no authority, who had no power, economic, anything. They had nothing. The only thing they had was what? The gospel of Jesus Christ and their testimony. The only thing they had was the Word of God. That's it. That's all they had. And when they were faced with any difficulty, what did they do? They prayed. When Peter was put into prison and they were going to put him to death, what did they do? They prayed. When they were being threatened by the Jewish leaders and say, you stop speaking in the name of Jesus Christ or we're going to put you all in jail. What did they do? They prayed. When they were trying to decide, should we send Paul and Barnabas? What should we do? The Holy Spirit spoke while they were praying, and they set aside Paul and Barnabas, and they sent them as missionaries. But before they prayed before, and then they set aside Paul and Barnabas, and then what? They prayed again. You read the story of the, you know, and I know I've heard people say, oh, yeah, we used to do prayer meetings. We used to do this. But here's what they did. Have you ever read in the Bible where Paul was praying for a change in your circumstances? Oh, Paul praying for, you know, Timothy. Oh, God, I know that Timothy's having a hard go of it right now, and that, you know, he's got some gout, and he's got some things going. I don't know that Timothy had any of those things. But you never hear Paul praying about a change in a believer's circumstances. Hey, Paul never prayed for Timothy to get richer or to get poor. He prayed for Timothy to preach the gospel in season and out of season. He prayed for Timothy to preach the gospel with courage and direction. He prayed for other believers to be all they are in the presence of Christ, to understand that Jesus Christ is living in them, that the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, is living in them and is alive in them. And he said, live like that. Prayer. How critical is prayer in your life? Let's go on. And then he says, pray in the Spirit. And I, you know, I'm a Baptist. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. And man, we get nervous when you start talking about the Holy Spirit. I mean, you know, we have to put our hands in our pockets real quick because we might do something and have to explain it later. And I'm joking a little bit, but I'm actually being pretty truthful from when my childhood. And so the reality is that we get nervous about this. But here's what's going on. In the Greek, it actually says in spirit. Pray in spirit. And if you look at the word as a preposition, the word in the, if for instance, if Paul had said, pray in the closet, what would you have done? You go to a closet and you pray. You have to figure out what a closet is in the Greek and understand that. I get all that. But the reality is, he gave you a location, a place from which. And the word in is the idea that it sets within the parameters of whatever is named. Does that make sense? Okay, so for instance, if I said, pray in the closet, the idea would be you would go into the closet and you would stay in that closet. And so the idea is if you're praying in the Spirit, it's not that you start speaking weird. It's not that you start. Have you ever heard people that pray out loud and how their regular talking voice sounds like this? And then when they say, oh God, we thank you so much for it, you know, and they get all this. What's going on there? That's not praying in the Spirit. That's putting on something. And so what is Paul talking about? Pray in the Spirit. He's saying, listen, get where the Spirit is. Understand who the Spirit is. I love what Jesus tells us about the Spirit. The disciples were with him on the night he was betrayed, and he was praying with them, and he was explaining to them, that, hey, listen, I know that you're sad right now because I've told you I'm going away. I've told you I'm going to the cross. I'm going to be crucified, but it's better that I leave. Why? Because God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit into you. And when the Spirit comes, here's what's going to happen. The Spirit, you can read all about this in, that sounded funny, John chapter 15 and 16, okay? John 14, 15, you just read all of John. Anyway, John 13 through 17, there's a great, all the stories of, but here's what he said. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to do this. It's going to remind you of everything I've taught you. Do you think on the night that Jesus was betrayed, when it was all said and done and Peter kind of woke up, do you think Peter remembered everything Jesus said at that moment? No. Why? Because you and I can't remember. But the Holy Spirit, it's interesting, our brains are incredible. God, when he made your brain, he made an incredible memory bank. And you have everything stored in your memory. The problem is, like on my laptop, it's my random access. Random access kills me all the time because I'm constantly thinking of something I shouldn't be thinking of, and the things I need to be thinking about, I'm not thinking about, or I can't remember. But here's the deal. The Holy Spirit has a way to reach down inside of us and remind us of what's stored there. Remember this? Remember when he said this? Remember when we saw this? Remember when he did this miracle? Remember what he taught you there? Remember this? For you and I, you say, hold on, wait, we weren't with Jesus. Yes, but you've been reading his word. You've been studying his word. You've been in his word. And so in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit within you is to remind you of everything Jesus said and did. The other thing is that the Holy Spirit is also going to reveal to you new information. Now, let's be careful there, because that new information is never going to go against anything that God said or God's word said. It's not going to take you in a different tangent. So if you come to me and say, you know, God's laid this on my heart, so I'm going to go start a Honda dealership. Well, wait, hold it, wait. You know, don't tell me that that's, you get the idea. Don't tell me you're leaving your wife because God said, I need to leave my wife. No, that's not scriptural. Okay, God says, till death do you part. And so, you're not dead, neither is she. So, we digress. In the Spirit is the idea. The Holy Spirit is living in you and speaking, and we're having a dialogue constantly. Because prayer is a dialogue. We get that wrong, don't we? Don't we? Oh, my gosh. I want to talk to God. I want to tell him, these are the things he needs to do. Now, here's the deal. God can handle that. When you're frustrated with God, have you ever read the book of Psalms? Those songs are all about people who are expressing their heart to God and their brokenness before God, and yet God remains in dialogue with them. Prayer is a dialogue. It is a conversation where we give God everything that we have and we pray to him and lift him up to him and then listen to what he says. If we're praying in the Spirit, it's the idea of understanding where the Spirit is and moving with him on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers. Let's look at that for a second. All times, on all occasions and all kinds of prayers and requests. So this is a continuing dialogue. It's a continuing conversation. It's not where, you know, okay, we're going to meet for 5 minutes on Monday morning at 7:15, and God, after that, you know, I got a job, I got life, I got to do this other thing. No, it's a constant dialogue with God. You think about it, when you get in your car, what's the first thing you have to do? Put the keys in ignition, you know, you go through steps. What if you added to a step and just said, before you start the car, or maybe when it's really hard, after you start the car and you got the AC going, you just add it before you put it into gear and say, God, I'm about ready to put this car in gear. I'm about to go do whatever. And I want you to go with me. I want to know your wisdom in whatever I'm facing. And reality is, God, I have an agenda. I know that there are certain things I want to do when I get to work or when I get to this location. I know I have specific things that I want to do. But along the way, you may be speaking to me. I want to be sensitive to that, God. What if you took just a couple of minutes, maybe just 60 seconds? Maybe if you invited your whole family when you got in the car, say, hey, guys, we're just going to be quiet before the Lord. You know, every time we got in the car in the Congo, we always started with a prayer. And when you ever drove in the Congo, you understand why you pray. I say that jokingly, but the reality is it occurred to me. How often is prayer just part of my life? Am I making it part of my life, everything that I do? You know, I don't miss very many meals. How about you? But how often have we missed praying? Just being in constant dialogue with God, being listening and hearing from God and speaking to God. Paul is telling us to pray all kinds of prayers, all occasions and requests. With this in mind, keep this in mind. Recognize. Now, why would you put on armor? What's the purpose of putting on armor? Pardon? Protection. Why? What's out there that's going to hurt you? We have an enemy. With this in mind, recognize you're going into a battlefield. You're facing temptation. You're facing a frustration. You're facing an enemy who wants to set traps for you and destroy you. He wants to pull you down. He wants to tear you apart. He wants to break apart your family. He wants to destroy the relationship that you have with your spouse. He wants to destroy the relationship that you have with your children. He wants to destroy relationships. He wants to destroy this body of Christ. And so Paul is telling us, listen, in every situation, take a minute, slow down. With this in mind, recognizing we have an enemy, be alert. Pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on. And always keep on praying. Now, here's my struggle with a passage like this. There's no doing in there, at least on the surface. Because I've always thought of prayer as being what? Let's say it, passive. It's not really doing anything. And that is so untrue. Yet we live our lives like it is true, that prayer doesn't really do anything. It changes everything. Prayer is a conversation with God that He calls us to be in constantly. I love this quote by Keller. This is a pastor in New York. Let's look at that quote. I hope I got the quote. I'm sorry, I skipped something, didn't I? Let's go on. Right there. Pray for all the Lord's people. You know, this is my point here. My thought here is this. It's easy to pray for people I like, people I get along with, people that think the way I think, and people that do the things the way I would do things. But the reality is God's called us to pray for all the Lord's people. We're called to pray for one another. We're called to pray for one another and lift them up. And we're not just talking about healing from sickness. But I tell you what, there's some folks in here who are dealing with some mental health issues. Their heart has been broken, and they need to be healed of that. There's some folks in here this morning that know that Jesus, that they need to know that Jesus is hearing their prayers. And one of the ways He hears their prayers is by you praying for them. I love this, what Keller says. He says this, prayer is the only entryway into genuine self-knowledge. When we get quiet and we begin to have a conversation with God, I'll speak for myself, it reveals something about who I am. It reveals where I am spiritually. And sometimes that's not very pretty. I'm convinced one of the reasons we don't pray is because we don't want to see how bad it really is. Yeah, you got a checking account that you never balanced? There's a reason. You don't want to see how bad it really is. If there's a problem in your home that you're ignoring and you're walking away from, you don't want to see how bad it really is. Prayer has a way of looking at ourselves and looking at the mirror of God, seeing the presence of God here and recognizing that I'm not like Jesus. I say Jesus is my Savior. I say Jesus is who I am. I want to go back to that quote. I want to finish that quote because it's important. Let's go back there. Prayer is the only entry into genuine self-knowledge. It is also the main way we experience deep change, the reordering of our lives. It should say, of our loves is correct, of our loves. Because what is it you really love? I'm telling you, what you really love, you chase after. What you and I really love, we chase after. Prayer is how God gives us so many of the unimaginable things He has for us. Indeed, prayer makes it safe for God to give us many of the things we most desire. Why? Because prayer is transforming who we are. Let's go on. It is the way we know God, the way we finally treat God as God. Prayer is simply the key to everything we need to do and be in life. But my question is that the way we live? Is prayer really all that? Is prayer really at the very center of our life? You know, I said earlier, orientation has to do with figuring out where you are and understand where you want to be and then make the adjustments. Prayer is a way of understanding, this is where I am. This is my struggle. This is my frustration. This is my growing edge. This is how I need to become more like Christ and then understand where God is moving, how God is calling me and moving me in a particular direction, and then make the necessary adjustments to move with God. I love, I think it's Henry Blackaby that said something like this, you can't stay where you are and move with God. Did you hear me? You can't stay where you are and move with God. You have to make an adjustment. This morning, I've been thinking about prayer all this week and recognizing how little I pray. And I probably pray a lot by comparison. But the reality is God is calling me to a new level of prayer. I want everything to get fixed. And somehow I think I can do it all. My friends in the Congo, they understand. Guess what? If it's going to get fixed, it's going to be God. And so, yeah, they're praying all the time. And they're asking God. They don't go to their government to fix something. Why? Because their government's not going to fix. Their government's broken too. They go to God and they say, God, this is the situation. This is the problem. We don't have any authority. We don't have any power. We don't have any influence. Sound familiar? It sounds like the early church. God, what would happen if you and I began praying like the church in Acts? What if you and I began to pray the way Paul encourages us to pray? What if you and I decided that we're going to set an alarm? I have an alarm set on my clock for 10:02. Every day it buzzes me on my little Fitbit and reminds me that it's 10:02. That's because in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, Jesus said to his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send workers into the field. Because in the Good News Club, we need workers. We have open doors to schools all over Montgomery County, at Fort Campbell, all over the place. We have open doors. We have principals who are saying, please, 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 would you start a Good News Club here? Guess what? We don't have any Christ followers to do it. So at 10:02 every day, my little buzzer goes off. I hit it and I pray, God, send workers in the field. When I got that challenge from our leaders and I wrote that down, I said, you know what? I'm going to pray that for this church. I'm praying that for First Baptist Church of Oak Grove. God, every day at 10:02, I'm praying. And I'm taking a moment, I'm saying, God, we need workers in the field to lead Good News Club. We need volunteers who will help us lead Bible clubs on campus at school. But we also need workers here at this in this church, in this body. We need people who will step up and become the people of God that you're calling them to be. People who will step up and become workers in your field. You say, well, hold on, what, you mean in children's ministry? No, I'm simply saying workers in the field who are making an improvement, who are making things better, who are sharing the gospel, who are praying to the Lord of the harvest just like me. So maybe what you want to do this morning is pull out your watch and set your clock for 10:02 or 10 o'clock or something like that and say, you know what, every day at 10 o'clock, I'm going to pray with you, Pastor. You take out your connection card and you say, 10:02, I'm praying with you, Pastor, for workers to come into the field. Or maybe you want to come to this and you say, you know what, God, he's right. I don't pray at all, and I don't see any power in prayer. I'm like the guy who's a flat earther. Flat earther? I don't even know if that's the right word, okay? A flat earth guy, you know, I'm one of those people. Yeah, sure, you tell me that we're all in orbit and all that stuff, but I'm just living like I'm on flat earth. I'm just going from point B to point A, and I don't even think about all that other stuff. And God is saying, how about if you reorient your life? What would happen if you and I began to pray every day for the influence of this body of Christ in Oak Grove? If we said every day we're going to pray five minutes a day. Let's say there's, I don't know how many people are in here right now. I'm going to make it very conservative. Let's say there's 50 people. That's 5 times 50, that's 250 minutes. That's more than 2 hours, right? So for 2 hours a day, we're pouring out to God and saying, God, we're praying for the influence of First Baptist Church of Oak Grove in its community. We want to be the presence of Christ in this community. What if you and I made a commitment, 5 minutes a day, 250 minutes a day? Unbelievable. How much are we doing that right now? Don't raise your hand. Okay? All right? So it's amazing what would happen. What if you and I decided that, hey, you know what? Once a month, we're going to get together on, you know, fill in the blank, whatever night that might be, and we're going to start at 8 o'clock and we're going to pray till midnight. You say, oh, goodness, Ken, let's not get crazy on this. Well, it would be easy. Let's just use the acronym, pray. Let's praise God. Let's repent. Let's ask God. And then let's yield it all to him. That'd be a simple thing. We could split that into 4 hours and pray. And just simply pray the word of God. There's lots of things we can pray. We can go back over in the book of Psalms and we can just say, hey, God, I want to pray this prayer right here. And I'm going randomly. My God, why have you forsaken me? God, sometimes when I look at what's going on in the world right now, it looks like you've forsaken us. God, open our eyes to your presence. Open our eyes to the fact that you're moving in this community. Here's what I believe. I believe that God is actively working in Oak Grove, Kentucky. God is moving in this community, and he's inviting us to join him. He's saying, be a part of this. But you know what my problem is and our problem is that we're not spending any time in prayer with him. We're not in dialogue with him, so we can't possibly know where he's going or what he's doing. And we're just throwing our hands up and saying, I keep turning down the wrong road. As Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? Definition of insanity is you can't keep doing what you've always done and get a different result. What if you and I committed to say, hey, we're going to pray 5 minutes a day, every day. If you're willing to do that, I ask you to put that on your connection card. Write down 5 minutes. Okay, thank you for the three of you who pulled your connection card out right now. If you're willing to do that, write on your connection card, I'm going to pray 5 minutes every day. If you want to be a part, okay, I'll do this. What about this? What if I text you? You text me right now. You got my number, 559-970-2261. 559-970-2261. 559-970-2261. Yeah, it's a California number. Yeah, I got people calling me all the time wanting to sell me solar stuff. Hey, you know, you live in California. You ought to get solar. Nope. Don't do that. Okay, 559-970-2261. You text me. My phone's hidden somewhere. It's on Do Not Disturb. You can blow that thing up and it won't move. Okay? You can text me and say, hey, just text the word prayer. And I tell you what, every day I'll send you something. Remind you. Let's pray together. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I got to have somebody help me organize that, but I'll get help, okay, because I'm not an organized guy. You know that when you hear me preaching. Okay, you hear this. Listen, we can do this. Why? Because God's called us to it. The Holy Spirit is living in us. He wants to have a conversation with us. He wants to have a conversation with God. He's holding on to information that he wants to disclose to us that we haven't slowed down enough to just listen to him. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced of this. God wants to use this church to be a light in this community, and he wants to use us to accomplish it. And he's simply asking the question, are you going to stay where you are, or are you going to move with God? If you're going to move with God, we got to make some adjustments. Maybe the first adjustment is we stop saying, you know what, prayer is a passive thing. No, prayer is a powerful thing. Prayer is what moves the heart of God. Prayer is what releases the power of God. Prayer is what accomplishes miracles in the name of God. Prayer is what happens before anything happens. God, I thank you so much for prayer. I thank you, God, that we can come before you. God, we take it for granted so often that, goodness, we can just walk right into your presence and just barge in like we actually know you, like you're our dad. And that's because you are. And you love us. And some of us may have had fathers that didn't love us, fathers that didn't care about us. And God, I don't want that to distort any image of you, because you are a good, good Father who loves us. You're such a good Father that you allowed your Son to die on the cross for my sins. When I was your enemy, and even times when I've stood and continued to be your enemy, you kept on loving me and reaching out to me, waiting for me to hear you when I pray. So God, I pray for this church that we would pray, that we would take prayer for what it is, power of God, moving in our life and moving us, moving in this community and transforming this community. I pray, God, that your word would be released in us through prayer. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The worship team's going to come forward. We're going to sing the song, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. It's not as though we need to say that, but the reality is the Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. And maybe while they're singing the song, maybe you want to pray with a few people that are standing close to me. Maybe you want to pray with me. You come on down. We're going to pray together. But whatever it is, whatever God lays in our heart, let's stand together as we sing, Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. Thank you.
there's nothing worth more that could ever come close.